Welcome to the Embodied CEO Podcast. I'm Brooke.
And I'm Kirsten. We are integrative performance dietitians, entrepreneurs, and business mentors.
And we're tired of RDs not fully stepping into their power.
In this podcast, we're empowering RDs to use their fucking voice and expertise. There's not just a seat at the table for you, but you are the head of the table.
It's time to usher in a new paradigm of leadership as professionals and business owners. We're here to shake things up and have a damn good time doing it. So let's get started.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another amazing episode. We got Brooke and we have a special guest here. Brooke, say hi real quick.
Hey.
All right. Brooke is, as you guys know, still in Costa Rica, hanging out, living the dream in the jungle, making me worry about her all the time. Jungle life. But she's so happy. But the mom in me worries about my bestie in Costa Rica in the jungle. But she's happy. If you could see her smile right now, she's so happy. But we are like global today. This is a very global episode we're doing today because we are on three continents technically right now. You guys, that's like pause on that for a second. We are on three continents right now, which is amazing. I'm the boring one.
Technology is the coolest.
It's the coolest and like real time, right? I'm the boring one still here in continental US. Hi, at home for the moment. But we have with us an amazing special guest, a good friend of mine, a former client of mine, but she's incredible. You guys are going to love her. Her name is Katharina Kutreiber. Brooke, say that three times. In German, just kidding. But Kat is with us today. She is in Austria, and I'm going to let her introduce herself in just a second, but I want to give you guys some background. So we're going to go through the story kind of how we connected. But Kat is a dietitian in Austria. She works specifically or mainly with anti-diet, weight-inclusive, female, you know, focused approach in dietetics, which we all love. I know that's near and dear to Brooke's heart as well, because she kind of lives in that female-focused space as well. And she's been a dietitian in Austria since 2013. Again, I am the old person in the room, but that is okay. She is also a travel enthusiast. And every single time I talk to Kat, she's like, I'm on a train. I'm on a train. I'm on a train. Now, I know part of that is the reality of, you know, living in Europe, because I used to live in Europe. So that's just how we get around. But she's truly like on a train to like, I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation. I'm on vacation. I love that so much. But she loves to be active. She's an outdoors person. I constantly get photos of like the most beautiful, you know, alpine overlooks of places. She routinely travels to Vienna to just, you know, these little side gigs that she does, where for the rest of us, we're like, what? But this is normal for her because it's in her backyard. And she loves to connect with other RDs. So Kat, we are so happy to have you with us today for our multicultural episode number one, hopefully more to come, but say hi to the folks.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is going to be amazing.
I'm so excited.
It's going to be so good. I want to give a little bit of background because Kat, when she sent us her little, you know, we always ask for a little background so that we can do a proper introduction and tell everyone. And she said in here that the whole weight inclusive approach is still newish, quote unquote, in Austria. And her next sentence was, we are always a bit behind, as Kirsten would say. So I want to give some caveat to that. Because as a fellow European, I feel like I have the right to say this because I grew up in Germany and then, you know, obviously came here, you guys know this, in my teen years, but my entire family's still overseas. And what I meant by this comment when Kat and I worked together is that in Europe, the tendency seems to be, and I think this leads beautifully into our topic today, that we are very much rule-oriented. We are very much, this has been the tradition, thus we follow this tradition. This has worked even though it causes us 17 obstacles every time we do it, but this is how we've always done it. And it takes, here we would say, an act of Congress. In Europe, it's like it takes 7 acts of Congress and 3 generations to kind of change the trajectory of how we've always done stuff. I see this when I deal with my, you know, just family stuff in Europe. The bureaucracy is alive and well in European countries, especially in Western European countries. So my comment about we're a little bit behind in Austrian dietetics and German dietetics probably is not meant to, we're not up to speed. It's very much meant to reflect the need for systems and bureaucracy and our preceptors did it this way and their preceptors did it this way and 17 generations before did it this way. So we are still here. Would you agree with that, Kat, that that's kind of how things are?
Absolutely. Yes. That's the story, I would say. And especially I don't think it's in all Europe, but especially like the German speaking parts or countries we are also a lot focused on titles. So if it's like, I think we even have
Frau
titles.
Doctor.
Yes.
Herr Doctor. Everyone. Yes. If you have credentials in Europe, everyone and their brother will address you by these credentials, even if you've known each other for 25 years. I remember my dad still speaking to his superiors with Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so, as opposed to, hey, Paul, like we would say here.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So totally. It's interesting.
It is. And I'm not trying to say that it's wrong, but I think it leads to our topic of, and I want to not get ahead of ourselves because I want to tell the story of how you and I connected, but it leads to our topic of what we want to talk about today, which is the similarities that different areas of dietetics across the globe experience. And we're all in our little pockets and kind of coming to this evolution of who we are, and then seeing other pockets experiencing this evolution and going, wait, we should maybe look into that as well. But before we dig into that, Kat, I would love to hear, and I don't know that I know this story. How did you find me? We connected on Instagram a long time ago, but how did we kind of get together?
That's a good question. But I think it was through the Klammer sisters, Jasmine.
Yes.
So she's an RD in Austria too. And we connected already, and we're friends already, or we became friends, Jasmine and I. And yeah, so I think she once posted something, or like reposted something from you, and that was something like got my attention. And I was thinking like, okay, so of course I started to check out your profile, which was still like your old profile. Yeah, and then I followed along. I remember that I got at some point that you're from Germany. And so, yeah, at some point. I think the first time we really connected was with the mastermind.
Yes.
And so, yeah, we talked. And
you mean I posted something that made noise and made you notice? I would never.
Not Kirsten.
I would never.
I don't think so.
That sounds so unlike me. That's amazing. But for those of you who don't know, the Klammer sisters, you need to look them up if you're in the dietetic space as well, because they have a really cool little combo of, and I want to say her sister is a food researcher. No, I don't know exactly what her title is.
So the thing is in Austria, you have the dietitians or RDs, and then you have Ernährungswissenschaftler, which is
more like research focused.
Right. Yep. Right. Yep. And they are,
so that's
in Austria, they are not allowed, quote unquote, to work
to
with sick people.
Yeah. So very similar to here, right? We have very similar differentiation here. But anyway, this goes back to the whole, we're all connected on a global scale and we need to start looking outside of our local group. But then I started the mastermind back early in this year. I was like, we need a group where we can get out of this mindset. And right before we went live today, you actually told a story to Brooke and I about how one of your colleagues looked at what you're doing with not selling one-on-one, you know, like individual packages, and going, wait, why aren't you selling one-off sessions? And tell everyone what you said to us right before we went live.
I was like, well, first of all, especially if it's about changing your eating habits, like you will need more than one session, because if you want to change a habit, it needs more than just talking to us for like single time. And so I said, well, I sell packages because I want to have impact, and we need to charge the prices we are worth. So it's not just like, I don't know, not even charging. Some RDs here in Austria are not even charging like $100 for a single session. So yeah, we need to realize what we know and like all the knowledge we have, so that it's what we are worth, more or less. So yeah.
Such a common theme. Brooke, we hear this all the time, don't we?
From people
all the time. Everywhere.
All the time.
What's the feeling when you bring that up to other dietitians in Austria?
So like what I did yesterday, it was interesting because I was so enthusiastic about it. And I was like, well, we need to do this and we should be like this. And we need to actually like empower each other more and really see our worth and feel it and like bring it out into this world. And I just saw like several people on this Zoom call, and they were all just like nodding with their heads.
Nodding.
And at some point, I was like really talking and
active.
And, yeah. And I was like, okay, sorry, I'll stop. That's not the topic here. But if you want to talk about this, just hit me up. I'm all in for this. So yeah.
What would you say? Because it's so, because I've known you for a minute now, right? And we've been in spaces together. And when you were first in my space in the mastermind, and clearly for anyone listening who has heard me speak before, this is very much how I like to speak about our profession, right? Like, we are worth more. We can do more. Pay us more, right? Like, this is kind of, when you were first in my space, you wanted those things, but it was hard for you to kind of step into that power of those things. What do you think has changed between January and now? Because you're so in your space right now and in your power of, hell yes, we're going to charge more. Hell yes, I can talk about that. Hell yes, I can do that. What changed? And I love seeing it, by the way. Side note, while you're thinking of your answer. I love it. I love it. I love it. But I want to know how you got to that point.
I would say it's still not easy. Like the German-Austrian part of me, of course, is still here. So it's still a thing of, oh, am I allowed to do this? Can I say this? What would they like think about me? And yeah, will they judge me for saying it? But on the other hand, it's like, no, I want this so much. And we need to speak up and we need to change something. And the interesting thing was, before I worked with you, I've joined a program from a US RD. And the interesting thing was that at some point she was always talking like, you don't need 2 years of clinical practice or experience. And it hit me because before I started going to university at the age of 28. So, and then when I went there, I was always saying like, okay, I will do the, finish university and then I will go to work at the hospital for 2 years. And I have no fucking idea where these 2 years came from. But I said that I will work there for 2 years, have to have this experience. I don't know why we need to go to the hospital.
Put in your time, pay your dues. Yeah.
But then just the 2 years, and then I will start my own thing. And this was just like mind-blowing when then I found you and other international RDs. And it's, I don't know why in our head, it's always these like 2 years. And there are so many similarities of like how the association,
like the overseeing bodies, the associations. Yeah.
Yeah. But like the whole association of like the national RDs in Austria, and it seems like internationally, it's kind of like the same. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say shit show, but like what they're doing.
But
and,
it is.
And how they treat us and how they represent us and all that. So, yeah.
Well, and that last piece you just said, how they represent us, that's the part that I know Brooke and I always take issue with, because they should be in our corner fighting our fight for us. The fight of, we have so much knowledge and we are so capable and we can literally change people's lives. Why are we constantly being told we need to stay in this little box and don't open your mouth and only say as you're told and don't make any recommendations? Whatever you do after all that school you went to and all the things you learned, you better not make any recommendations. Why am I here? What is my purpose? If that, like, I'm literally just taking up space at that point, right? It's so interesting to know that the exact parallel happens in an entire other culture where you have the same amount of training, massive training. You're so capable. And yet still, we all still fall in line. And I think that the difference that I see, obviously having straddled both sides of that, is that in the US, we're just a lot more like, no, I'm done with that. And again, European culture, especially German European culture, and my parents are, I was the same way. We're still very much more rule followers, right? Yeah. Like in Germany, I won't cross a street even if there's no car coming, if the light is red. Like, I'll do it here. No cop, listen to this, please, because I'll totally do that here if there's no car coming. But in Germany, like, I'll still stand there and wait until that stupid light turns green, even if there is no car for 3 miles. That's just kind of the nature and the culture and what's ingrained in us. And then you extrapolate that into what we can do professionally. And we're almost like our hands are tied. Like, we can't do the work that we're meant to do, right? Like, it's the most frustrating thing, I feel.
So in Europe, how does it work logistically? Like, do you have the same Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, or is it a different governing body that has just similar rules and mindset?
Yeah, so we have to go to university for 3 years, and then it's not like in, like, you just have specific universities who are offering this kind of studies.
And then Do you have to do clinical after that? Like you have to do an internship that we have to do here, or what do you do afterwards?
So we do, so it's a 3 years. So it takes 3 years to become a dietitian, but it's already in these 3 years, you have to do your internships.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Okay. That's a much faster path than here. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay.
But it's a pretty intense thing to do because, you know, you can always, like there are other forms of studies you can do where you can work and study. But this is kind of like, because I was thinking of doing this and I was like, no, I can't do this because it's like so many hours.
Too much.
You have to attend and be there and then also like study all the time.
Studying and clinical research
Right. So, but yeah, it's included. So after these 3 years, you're already like done. And you can go outside and conquer the world.
Within the realms of regulations that they've given you. Yes.
Yeah, of course. But it's, and the internships, you're doing them from like the first semester on. And yeah, I think in total, I'm not sure, but it's in total maybe like 6 months in total. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Of the clinical in-person work. Wow, I didn't realize how different that was from here, because here we do the 4 years of undergrad.
Yep.
Starting in 2024, everyone will also have to have a master's degree, so an additional 2 years.
Okay.
And then we have to do a 1,200-hour internship, and that can, in some cases, be combined with that master's degree. It just depends on what your degree is. Brooke combined hers. Mine was not combined because my master's degree is in public health, not in nutrition. So mine was 4 years of undergrad, 2 years of grad school, and then a year of an internship. So it's definitely a much different path. But the end result, and I think what I know from when you and I were in the same world, what is so frustrating is that we all end up in this space where now we have our passions, and you knew from the beginning you didn't want to work in clinical. And you knew from the beginning that what you're so passionate about is this female role in this of like, we are so tired of being, and I know Brooke, you can relate to this so much, so tired of being ignored in the medical system, and everything is about weight. And this is not so much the world Brooke lives in anymore, but in your world, that's obviously what you focus on so much. And then we're not certain, can we talk about it? Are we allowed to talk about this? Are we allowed to focus on this when you know the impact we have is so huge, right?
Yeah.
Brooke, I want you to talk about like when you made this transition, because I think Kat will relate to this. When you made this transition from working with athletes and sort of like, I thought I needed to be here, but really my passion is here. And you and I were just on a phone call earlier talking about this. It changes how you approach what you do with nutrition.
Oh, 100%. I think that like for me, I just evolved so much in my personal life. And I felt like not only was, as a dietitian, I'm not taken seriously by most medical professionals, like with doctors and nurses. But then I had my own personal journey where I'm a patient and I'm not getting taken seriously or the care, and my voice still doesn't matter. And I'm like, what do I have to do for like you guys to take me as a human and my profession seriously? And it really impacted and shifted. While I think athletes are awesome and I love that Kirsten and her practice and her team do these things, I shifted and I was like, no, I'm going to help women, because I think that they're not being heard and there's a lot of concern and there's a lot of symptoms. And man, there's a reason that like women make up 75% of autoimmune cases. And so I've been very, very loud and passionate about that. And I really love that shift and that stepping into like, I'm not just leading a business now. It's like I have a mission and I have a purpose. And I think that's always really special.
So Kat, you and I, when we were working in the mastermind, your big push was, I have all these ideas and all these thoughts that I want to talk about, but I feel like my role is only allowed to be here, right? And the majority of the work that I feel like we did was not about, let's massively change the structure of your business. That wasn't really where you were stuck. Where you were stuck was almost like permission. It was almost about permission to fully embrace the thing that you were excited about and passionate about and go after that. Would you agree that that was what we worked on?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, totally. And I remember one thing that was, I don't know if it was you or someone else in the mastermind when we talked about content and what we are putting on Instagram or social media. And it was, first of all, it was so like, great, quote unquote, to hear that others in this group were feeling the same of like, oh, what would this dietitian is going to say if I put out this post and if I say this on my story and all that stuff. And I was like, finally, like, oh my God, I'm not the only one feeling like this. Mm-hmm. But then this sentence that resonated with me like so much, and I wrote it down and I was like, oh my God, I was like, yeah, they're watching, but they are not your clients. They are not the ones who are going to work with you. They are not the ones who are going to pay you. They are not the ones you want to work with. And it was like, oh wow, yes. And of course, I still had to do like the mindset shift, because it was just like the sentence, and then you still need to like, yeah, work on it.
Incorporate and embody that work, yes.
Right. But I think it's, yeah, more and more is, it was a big mindset shift for me when we were working together. And still, it still is to now. But
yeah,
it's so much of, it's more and more, my business is becoming more and more me. And even though I still have this feeling sometimes of like, oops, I'm hiding again, or like I'm still in like falling back into the old mindset. But then, yeah, I have this, as I said, I have this post-it.
I have She's a holding post-it up a post-it here. Right now, you guys. That yeah, she has. Tell our listeners what it says on the post-it.
So I've been watching a webinar last week, and in this webinar, the lady said something like, if you want to like achieve this and this goal, always ask yourself, what would this person who is already there do? And so I took out a post-it and I wrote down, what would Kirsten do? And so this is the post-it I just showed up, or like I just showed you. So yeah. This is here. And
I love that so much. I love that so much. Kat and I were in, she was in the mastermind, and then we were in Voxer together for 3 months afterwards. And in one of our very last Voxer days, you sent me that. And Voxer is always so sad for me when we leave Voxer and leave that space, because it's like, you know, it's like we're breaking up, but we're not. Like, I missed you already in Voxer. But when you sent me that picture, I was like, this right here, and it wasn't even about what you said with what would Kirsten do, but the sheer fact that you sort of attached your target and your goal to like, yes, this is achievable. And yes, I can do this. And yes, I don't need permission from anybody else. I just need to step into the version of me that's going to do the brave thing. And I think that's what that represents more than anything, right? Like, you guys know that I'm going to say what I think, and I'm just going to not really worry about what happens as a fallout, which is not to say it doesn't affect me when other people pass judgment, because I'm still a human and absolutely it affects me. But I just very much am going after that North Star target for me, which is freedom and impact, right? And showing up authentically me. And the fact that you can now take that as your guidepost of, it is about what I want to do, and I'm allowed to show up and say what I want to say. And when in doubt, I just need this little nudge, this little reminder of like, well, how would I show up if I was already that person doing exactly what I want to do? That's the mindset shift. And yes, it's a work in progress, but the change I've seen from you from, when was it, February, March to now, is like, is a complete 180. And do you feel happier in your business and how you're communicating and showing up?
Yeah, totally. I can also so resonate with Brooke's story, because Kirsten, you know that I had some like
personal health stuff
issues too, and so of course this changed my, I don't want to say appearance, but like mindset too, because I was really like drained out and all that stuff, but of course it totally changed me. So it's really like looking back on like March or April and seeing me now and seeing my like posts and how I show up and how I'm not letting someone tell me like, you have to post, I don't know, 10 times a week and you have to do this and you have to do that. It's so like so much relief now, even though I know like I have to do it, or but I'm it's more like, do I want to do it? Right. And if I don't want to show up, I'm not going to show up, and that's it, you know. And it's not,
and it's
like
fine.
There is not the Instagram police who is going to ban me from there. So it's all good.
I love that. I love that. And you know what? The most interesting thing that always happens, and this is a little bit of faith and you know, trusting the process, but I see this happen with clients over and over and over. When we stop worrying so much about how we're showing up and what will people think and what if and what if and what, all of a sudden opportunities come out of the woodwork left and right. How many opportunities have randomly shown up in your front yard as a result of simply saying, I'm just going to say what I want to say. And, you know, like, and you would message me and go, okay, I put the story out there and I don't know how this is going to land. And then like 3 hours later, you'd message me and go, I got so much feedback. People love this. And all of a sudden I got this call from this person over here who wants to collaborate on this thing, right? Like how much has happened as a result of you simply being in your business?
Yeah, that's like a lot of stuff has happened. It's not like, oh, I'm like totally booked out or anything, but still, so many projects and collaborations happened, and just like all the ideas I'm having. And now, of course, I'm still like, okay, I like, do I want to do this, or do I really want to work with these people or with this topic? Mm-hmm. And of course, I also had my, I know you both are human design lovers, and I had my reading. So now I will still have to dig a little bit deeper, but I totally understand myself and like how I work and how I like roll even more. And so I know that I have all these, I'm a manifesting generator, so I have all these ideas.
Nice.
But then I still need the time to kind of like see, okay, is this really something I want to do? Or is this something like I'm starting for and doing it like one time, like a group program. And but then I'm like, it's not really my cup of tea. And now it's kind of like, I know it's okay to change this or to say, okay, I did it once or I did it twice, but now I want to do something else.
Yeah.
And this is also something that gives me a lot of like freedom and just kind of like calms myself a little bit as well.
Yeah, that's such like a beautiful lesson.
And I was just going to say, we don't talk about that part enough, right? Like the nervous system regulation for ourselves. Like we talk a lot about what we do for other people and how we show up and how that impacts the people in our world. But, and you are the queen of this, Brooke, right? Because you literally picked up your life and moved it to a different country in a different environment where your nervous system is much more regulated. But it's so vital for us then showing up and run a business, right? Like it's like, that's such a change for you, right? Running a business from a place where you actually feel calm and in tune with who you are and what you need first so that you can then show up and run this business.
Yeah, absolutely. And also when you were talking about like setting up boundaries and like rules for your business, and I always thought like, okay, I have, I don't know, 3 days I can offer appointments. And now I'm like, yeah, I have 3 days, but I will only offer appointments on 2 days and that's it. And I don't have to work around and be like, okay, of course you can, I don't know, come on the Friday evening, or we can do an appointment on Saturday morning or whatever. No, it's my business and I can set up the rules and the kind of like where we are heading. Yeah.
I love that so much.
It's so funny we even do that, because if you think about it, like, would you call your dentist and ask like, well, I can't take time off. Like, can I come in on Saturday morning? Like, no, you wouldn't ask your dentist that. So it's very strange that like in our profession, and maybe that's because we're on online too, and they think like, well, you're there all the time. You're plugged in all the time. You're an entrepreneur. It's like, no, like I have office hours and business hours too.
Yeah, right. Sometimes I have this with like answering emails and I'm like, oh, but shouldn't I like, you know, answer them like right away, even though it's, I don't know, Friday evening or Saturday morning or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, I don't even have access to my emails on my phone.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's so nice. Yeah, it's so nice. And like the world is still spinning if I'm answering a day later, you know, and if people can't wait, then I'm sorry.
Too like, bad. Yeah.
As you said, like the dentist is not waiting for me or like changing their business hours or whatever. So I can do that too.
I kind of want to call my dentist now and just be like, so I want to come in on Saturday to see what they would just say. Just to see the what laugh, the response. Right? Like the laugh I would get on the other end of the phone would be incredible. Kat, I want to close this out with, because you're doing some incredible things as a result of kind of having this, I don't want to say epiphany, but this evolution of how you show up. What would you say if you were to speak right now to all the other dietitians in Austria, the community that you're plugged in with other dietitians, where do you see the biggest opportunity for you guys to expand on what you do and kind of step into this new version? What do you think dietitians in Austria need to confront and deal with in order to move the profession forward?
Wow, that's a great question.
I just came up with that. There you go.
One of the biggest steps would be to kind of like work together. As you're always saying, like, we can be the head of the table, but still like come to a table together. And no matter if you're having like the same topics or working with the same clients, come together, work together, exchange ideas and struggles and just specialize in a topic, because this is something we haven't talked about yet, but this is nothing like in Austria, not a lot of RDs have a like specializing in a topic,
like
more
a niche,
or less, or,
yeah,
or a niche.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just come together and really talk about stuff and empower each other. Don't always think that this other RD can take away something from you. Because I think if we all come together and like work together, we can thrive together and we can make this whole nutrition RD business like a really big thing.
Yeah, I love that. And I feel that's a common thread. Like we have that same issue here still, right? I feel like we're getting better at that in the US because we talk about it a lot more and because we have these platforms where others can plug in. But I from what you've told me about what you guys are going through there, right, going through in Austria right now, with kind of this awakening of our abilities and our possibilities as dietitians, what you're doing right now, because I know you just started a group of collaboration for other RDs in your country, which I love. I think that is such a vital next step for bringing all of us into a room together where it's like, let's just talk about how we can elevate the profession instead of constantly trying to keep each other down, because we feel like we're not going to get enough of the pie if we do that. There's plenty of the pie for everyone. We're all needed. We all bring amazing gifts and we can all help each other up level instead of keep each other down. I love that.
Yeah, totally.
Well, we're so grateful that you were with us today, our multicultural Interrupted by Food Delivery podcast, because this is the real world and this is what we do. If we had more time in video, we would now ask Brooke to do an unpacking of her groceries, like real influencers, so that we could see
it's
what you actually got.
Epic. I have so it's many good farmers epic. Markets finds. Yeah, three different time zones, three different like zones of the world. Like, this is pretty epic. Yep. Thank you so much for making the time to join us and come on.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah.
Absolutely. We're so grateful to have you here. I'm grateful for all the connections I think that we've all made in the last few years of being on this Instagram, social media, entrepreneurship, dietetic journey together. Brooke, what is coming up in your world? Tell our listeners what's next in the West Nutrition Co. world.
Really, the biggest things right now are kind of behind the scenes in the works. We've got one-on-one coaching, my co-coach and I, that we're doing a lot of women's health stuff. And I've got some really exciting women's health programs. And on the business side, I have some fun things planned behind the scenes, but I'm not currently accepting any clients. But stay tuned and watch my business Instagram for sure.
Amazing. Lots of stuff going on. In my world, for anybody who needs anything, the nutrition side of our business has gotten incredibly busy the last couple of months, which is beautiful and such a blessing. And we're so grateful for all the people in our world. But if you are an RD listening, we are looking in early 2023 to bring on somebody else for some overflow stuff. So if you're looking for some part-time work to work with an incredible team, if I do say so myself, we got an amazing team over here at Screen Nutrition. Shoot me an email, hello@screennutrition.com. Send me a resume, send me some stuff. This episode, I'm guessing, will air sometime in December. Where are we, Brooke? December?
November. Mid-November.
November. There you go. So you guys can still slide on in there with applications and things. We'll be looking at that for someone to come on part-time. On the business side, the mastermind will run again early in the year. We'll possibly run before then. We'll see what the timing looks like. And, you know, Kat was in that mastermind. So if you have questions, she's, I'm sure, happy to tell you how amazing it was. Just kidding. But it was. Anyway, so absolutely. That's happening. we appreciate that. Kat, what is happening in your world? Tell our people real quick. What are you doing right now?
Well, in my world, a lot, actually. I'm giving a lot of like workshops for companies. I'm giving some workshops for private clients. I'm doing the mastermind you just talked about, and I'm working on some really big stuff for other RDs with two other amazing RDs, which I don't want to talk about too much, but Kirsten That's knows okay. about it already.
I know the details.
Yeah.
That's amazing. No, but it's going to be great. Just watch your space.
Right. We want to mix up the RD space a little bit.
I'm here for it. I'm going to have to follow your Instagram and keep an eye out.
Yes. And on that note, everything will be tagged in the show notes so you guys can find Katarina. We are so grateful you were with us today. I know it is dinner time for you, so you go head off and do whatever you do at dinner time on a Friday. Brooke, you go unpack your groceries, and we will hear and see you all next time. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to the Embodied CEO podcast. To connect with me, Brooke, on Instagram, head to @westnutrition.co for all things nutrition, and @BrookeWest_RDN for all things business. You can also check out my website at westnutrition.co.
And to connect with me, Kirsten, head on over to Instagram and look for @TheKirstenScreen for business, or visit our nutrition profile @ScreenNutrition. You can also find me on the web at either kirstenscreen.com or screennutrition.com.
Be sure to follow, subscribe, and share the Embodied CEO podcast.
Now go out there, be awesome, and go disrupt some stuff.